So there is a stereotype about beauty pageants, and it's that when you know the question portion comes in the beauty pageant, the answer that every contestant gives is world peace, right? So if you could change anything about the world, what would it be? Well, I would want there to be world peace. If you became Miss Universe, what would you do? I'd do world peace. What's your favorite thing to do? That would be world peace, right? That's sort of the stereotype. And, you know, to be fair, I read a little bit more into this. It doesn't seem like contestants really do that as much as we think they do. I do think they used to do it a lot, and I think people made fun of them, so they don't do that anymore. You know what? I'm sympathetic to that answer. I can get why that's a popular answer. Every day, what you read, what you see, is conflict. It's struggle. It's fighting somewhere. We see it out there, but we also see it like in here, close to us. All of us, over the course of our lives, have had relationships, have had been in family situations and communities where we've been in conflict. Maybe you're in that right now. You're around conflict and struggle. And so, I mean, it's tiring and exhausting to think that no matter where you look, no matter where you are, there's always going to be fighting, there's always going to be conflict, there's always going to be war. And so who wouldn't want peace? Like, who wouldn't want that? You know, it's why I think what the angels say in the Christmas story is so memorable. You know, I think if you ask anyone, even those who aren't particularly Christian, they especially if they've watched the Charlie Brown Christmas recently, if you ask them, so you know in the Christmas story about Jesus, what do you remember about what the angels say? Most people would know something about what they said, and what they most would remember is the angels spoke about there being peace on earth. Peace on earth. That stands out in the story, doesn't it? Because that's what we want. And what makes, I think, Christianity interesting to think about is maybe perhaps the Christian story can provide it. This is the promise. Peace on earth. What does the Bible say to us about that? How might we have that? Well, to get at this, we have to sort of then ask, what does the Bible mean by peace? What is it offering to us? And I think often when we think of that word peace, we're thinking like, okay, no more conflict, no more struggle, no more war. To really get what the Bible is giving us in that word, that concept peace, we have to understand that like it's actually, what the Bible's talking about is not necessarily no conflict, no war, no struggle. It's not wrong to think that, but that word peace in the Bible has a deeper meaning besides just no more war and no more conflict. The Bible actually wants to give us more than just thinking like, okay, everything stops. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace, and it speaks more to a state of being. Shalom, peace in the Bible, is this being in this state of wholeness. Of harmony, that you have this sense of wholeness and harmony within yourself, within your relationships. You know, a thing a lot of people talk about today is about being centered, right? And that concept of being centered, not all the ways people talk about it, but in some sense, that sense of being centered gets at what we're getting at here, that peace, in the biblical sense, is this idea of being centered in that you feel secure, you feel grounded. You feel at rest, and you feel secure and at rest and grounded because there's harmony within yourself, and there's harmony with your relationships and harmony in the world around you. So all this means, then, that the Bible, in talking about peace, is wanting to give us something that we can have even if, no matter the situation that you're in. You see, this is what I mean by that deeper sense. It's that state of being where you can have peace. You can have that sense of harmony and wholeness if you have no conflict, but even if you are facing conflict, even if you are facing tension and struggle, you can begin to have peace. You can have peace. You know, there's a story in the Bible. This is what I sort of imagine, where what the Bible wants us to have when it talks about having peace. It's the story of Jesus and his disciples. They're in a boat. There's a storm raging all around them. The Bible says the boat's about to be swamped over, and Jesus is sleeping. It says he's sleeping in the stern of the boat. Like, the disciples are going crazy. And Jesus is sleeping. Is that, that image of Jesus at rest, composed, in harmony, confident about where he is and about what's going on. And so when we think about peace, I mean, that's what we want. That peace that we see Jesus have in that story. So think about all the difficult things coming your way. Think about the difficult things you might be in now, the difficult things you know are coming in the future. You think about all those things. We want those things to go away, but even if they don't, we don't want to be overwhelmed by them. We don't want to be sort of swallowed up by them. What we want is to be able to be in them and go through them to the other side and be at peace. And Jesus seems to have it. So how do we have what Jesus have? Well, to have the peace of Jesus, the answer is this. We need peace in Jesus. To have Jesus' peace, we got to go to Jesus to get it. And guess what? Jesus gives it to us. He says we can have peace because we can be in him. Jesus gives us the peace that we need. This is John 16, verse 33. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Tribulation, another word, other words for that would be trouble. In the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have struggle. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So, notice what Jesus says here. In this world, you will have trouble. Not you will have trouble. You will have, you may have trouble, or maybe there'll be some difficulties. You most definitely will face trouble. You will face struggle. You will face tribulation. Hearing that, that there will be trouble, there will be struggle, you might think, well, then there's no way I can have peace. I'm going to have to wait till that goes away. I think Jesus is saying, no, we can. We can have peace even if we know for sure there'll be trouble and struggle. Why? Because Jesus, it says there, has overcome the world. That means there is nothing, nothing that will come out over on top of Jesus. There's no struggle, no conflict, no difficulty, no evil. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, that was the statement that said nothing can overcome Jesus. Jesus means, the risen Jesus means guaranteed final victory over everything. So if you've believed in Jesus, and to believe in Jesus is to commit yourself to him, is to say, I believe in the story that he's telling. I believe in the life that he's pointing us to. I believe in how he leads us to God because he is God. If you've believed in Jesus and committed yourself to Jesus, the Bible says you are in Jesus. It means Jesus is like this rock that you can build your life on. You can depend on. You can depend on his words. You can depend on the things he points you to and the things he calls you to. To believe in Jesus is to be built on him and to know that everything's going to be okay. To be able to take that breath and know that you're in a good place. You're a place where you can be in harmony within yourself. You can be at rest within yourself. The world and all its troubles, they can and they will rage around you. They'll beat against the house of your life. But the Bible says Jesus has already overcome them. So you can take heart. You take heart. What does that mean then? Well, you're in Jesus. You have his victory. If you take heart, you have the victory of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? You have peace then, don't you? It gives you that perspective, that sense of rest, harmony, and wholeness. Because we have Jesus, we have his victory already. His overcoming power already. He's overcome sin and death and all things. And so in Jesus, we have the perspective we need. We have peace. So we're not surprised by trouble. You don't need to be overwhelmed by it, cynical about it, disillusioned by it. The Bible says, again, in this world, there will be trouble. In this world, there will be struggle and conflict. In this world, there will be tribulation. The key question here is, how much are you holding on to Jesus? Because it's about being in Jesus. How much are you in Jesus? It's not how much are you into a particular church or tradition. It's not how well you've memorized certain doctrines and gotten all the right answers. It's not to say those things are unimportant. Essential to the Christian life is church community and knowing what the Bible says and knowing answers to what the Bible says. That's essential, but I want to argue it's not of first importance. Before you go there, you have to begin here with a person, Jesus. How much are you in Jesus? How much are you holding on to Jesus? The key to harmony and to wholeness, peace in your life, the key to that is always Jesus. How much are you in relationship to Jesus? You must be in Jesus if you want to have the peace of Jesus. And when we're in Jesus, you've believed in him, you've trusted in his way rather than in your way or other ways. We all got to pick a way to get through this life. Jesus, what I'm offering is that Jesus is the best way. If you've picked the way of Jesus and you're in him, you have his peace. What that results in is a peace that spreads out in multiple areas of your life. And this morning, I'm just going to sort of pick three areas that the peace of Jesus then sort of infiltrates into and spreads out into. To be in Jesus, I want to talk about first how we can have peace even if we're facing trouble within our own soul, right, within yourself. Secondly, if we're in Jesus, how we can have peace as you face trouble in your community or your relationships. Last thing, to be in Jesus, how we can have peace as we face trouble in the world. So those three things, let's look at that first one. Peace as you face trouble within your own soul. Christians in the past have this sort of phrase, the dark night of the soul, which is sort of, it captures that sense of what can happen inside of you at times. That sense of heaviness you can have as you're sort of working through things and facing things. It's those times when you struggle with worry and doubt because you have difficult things you're facing, difficult things you're stepping into. It's those times you struggle within yourself because you have addictions you're trying to beat. You have sins that have trapped you and continue to trap you. It's those times when you struggle because you struggle to believe. Like you've been in church a while, you've heard all the things, but at different points, and I want to let you know, every Christian goes through this. Just rightfully so, I think. Every Christian has moments they ask those kind of questions. I'm not sure. Sure what I think. Sure what I believe. All those different things. We all will face that. In this world, we will have trouble. It begins in our own soul, in your own heart, even. Well, what's the promise that God gives us? This is Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the promise of peace. Again, where is it? In Jesus. But notice the description of what the peace of Jesus does. It guards your heart and your mind. Like, so the inner part of who you are, who you essentially think about yourself, how you think about yourself, to be in Jesus puts sort of this protection around us so you don't spiral out of control. You don't lose everything. You don't end up drowning in just agony as you sort of have no way to go through life. It's this idea of being in Jesus guards you so that you feel, again, secure, centered, confident in Jesus. His peace, the peace of God, which is the peace of Jesus, guards us. And we can have this and hold on to it just by asking for it. It's actually as simple as that. See, here's the verse that comes before the verse I just read. So verse 6. So you want to have the peace of God that transcends all understanding? Here's what verse 6 says. Do not be anxious about anything. That's what takes away peace. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And guess what? The peace of God guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think we don't appreciate enough how regular, consistent talking to God every day helps us get peace. Regular, consistent, every single day. I think we'll be surprised how much that matters. I think we'll stand before God one day and we'll look, the Bible talks about us, every single person standing before God one day and your whole life sort of playing out, right? And as we stand before God and see our whole life playing out, I think we'll be surprised all the different moments where we struggled and we seemed to really, really struggle. And God's like, why didn't you just keep talking to me? Like, why'd you stop talking to me? I could have helped you through that. I wanted to help you through that. That prayer is one of the ways in which, so what happens, sometimes I get it. Like sometimes you pray and it feels like you're talking to a wall, like nothing's happening. But because God is everywhere and God is spirit, he's always listening. He's always working. He's always happening. The more we talk to God regularly, every day, and talk to God even in pain and struggle, even in saying, I'm not sure if I believe in this. I'm not sure about this. I am overwhelmed by this. Even in the deepest heart cries of your heart and soul, God meets you there. What God does is bring the things to mind that remind you that you can be confident in Jesus, that Jesus is real, and that he can give you the sense of wholeness and harmony that can help you even if it takes a while to work through the dark night of your soul. We have peace in Jesus, and that matters for whatever is going on in your heart and mind. One of the key things we need to do is talk to God about it. It begins by first believing in Jesus. That's the first word any of us say to God. God, I believe in Jesus. Give me him. And we keep talking to God, and he keeps giving us Jesus. What God does is bring what you need to your heart and soul, but you got to talk to him about it. We talked about it, and we can begin to rest in that peace. So peace as we face trouble within our own souls. But secondly, peace as you face trouble within your family or community. You know, if you have relationships, any of us who have relationships, it means there's going to be conflict. Again, Jesus said, in this world you have trouble. Not just the world out there, it's also close to us. In your own world, your personal world, there'll be conflict. There'll be trouble. And it often shows up in our relationships within your family, among your friends, at school, at work, within this church. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be tensions. And let's be honest, we don't tend to handle that in the best ways. You know, I've been doing this for a while. I've had tons of relationships at this point. And, you know, sometimes they work out great. Sometimes they work out really good for a while, and then they fall apart. Sometimes they fall. It's all over the place. And I have to admit how often, like, I what goes on in my own heart and mind as I see these conflicts and tensions in my relationships. I know they happen. I know it's normal. But it's disruptive, especially if it's a relationship you've had for a long time, someone you think you're especially close to. We don't tend to handle those things in very good ways. Here's what God gives us to help us. It's, again, the peace of Jesus. But here's how the peace of Jesus spreads out. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. So here's how peace manifests itself in our relationships, in our community. And notice the connection here. So the peace of Christ, it rules inside of you. And as that peace rules inside of you, it extends beyond you. If the peace of Christ is ruling in your heart, it's almost like this fountain that keeps spreading out. Right? It's not a little small spring within you. Jesus always spreads out beyond you. And so as Christ spreads out from you and his peace spreads out from you, it connects you to other people who, if you're especially in community and in relationship with other people who have Jesus inside of them, the peace of Jesus also spreads out from them and it connects you together with them. And so when you're in relationship with people who say we're going to be in Jesus and we're going to rest in the peace of Jesus, it does something to your relationships. It means like you won't allow stupid, selfish, petty conflicts to manifest among you. The peace of Jesus means that we begin to steer around gossip and grudge holding. What the peace of Jesus does is, as it reminds us that we're connected to something bigger than ourselves. It draws us into something bigger than ourselves, into a relationship with other people. And the peace of Jesus brings us into that kind of sense of harmony and wholeness, and it gives us the tools we need to keep having harmony and wholeness. Tools like love, tools like righteousness and justice and fairness, tools like forgiveness and repentance. See, if you make this conscious decision in your relationships, no matter what happens in this relationship, I will always use the tools of love. I'll always gear towards justice and fairness, and I'll always be willing to listen to authentic repentance and offer forgiveness. If you decide to always use those tools, love, justice, and fairness, forgiveness, and repentance, it means, I'm saying this, you will always have wholeness and harmony in relationships. It always works. When our relationships fall apart, it's because we let go of one of those things, right? We let go of one of those things. Love, justice, fairness, forgiveness, repentance, all those things They are the tools that God uses to bring us into peace, to remind us that we're members of one body. When you have Jesus, and to have Jesus is to be reminded we have those tools. It's to have all those tools, because in Jesus, we are able to step into forgiveness. We're able to move towards justice and fairness and love, because Jesus did it. So because Jesus does it, we can do it. We can have peace. So the peace of Christ begins to spread out beyond us, not just within ourselves, but also in the relationship with those around us. Lastly, we can have peace as we face trouble within the world. You know, I'll say this. I am concerned about where it seems our country is going. I'm concerned about, it seems like, the increase of tensions and conflicts more than I've ever seen globally. I mean, it's always been there, but it's definitely, there's things happening that are worrisome, that are concerning in this country and beyond. There are things that they're legitimate things for us to be thinking about and talking about, not afraid to think and talk about, maybe even things that we should step into and speak more into. But the posture I want to have as I look at things around me, the posture I want to have is not one of worry or desperation or like I got to grab onto power no matter what. The posture I want to have is not like I need to have my own way and things need to happen the way I want them to happen in this country. Things need to happen the way I want them to happen in this world. The way in which I want to approach it is one of peace. Again, the way the Bible talks about peace. Peace and a sense of wholeness and harmony because I know where everything is going. You see, here's where we circle back to where we began. The peace of Jesus doesn't immediately mean world peace. It doesn't mean world peace like today or probably not tomorrow. But the peace of Jesus will eventually mean world peace. It will mean eventually the final chapter of this story is shalom. It's harmony and wholeness everywhere, that all conflicts ultimately end in God's peace, the peace of Jesus. Here, let's remember, I mean, we're just spent this whole sermon just thinking of that phrase, peace, right? The whole phrase is Prince of Peace. So we've been talking about peace, but the whole expression is the Prince of Peace. Jesus being the Prince of Peace reminds us that he brings power, royal power. He brings authority, royal authority. Royal power, royal authority to do what? To actually make peace happen. To bring about peace. Again, when Jesus rose from the dead, that was him. That's like the statement, the stamp on the universe saying, I can do this. I have done this. He brings the power of a king, the authority of a king. And when someone has that kind of power and authority, you know he can bring it about. He can bring about peace. And really, what we live in now is the mop-up campaign. Jesus has already achieved peace, and now he's just bringing the news everywhere. You know, in our country, you guys are familiar with the Emancipation Proclamation. Proclamation that all the slaves were free, followed up by laws and the Constitution. But I think many of you know that declaration went out, but it's not like the South didn't just free all their slaves. Oh, the president said it, so let's click over our slaves. It took the Northern Army sort of going through the South, state by state, region by region, and enacting that peace. Bringing about what was already true. Bringing the power and authority of the U.S. government to free all the slaves. When we look at Jesus, we know that he has achieved victory over everything that causes conflict in our world. It's a spiritual victory. The peace that Jesus brings to you begins with your own heart. The own war that happens within yourself, the own war that happens with the reason why you don't listen to God. Jesus brings a peace, a spiritual peace within us, but you should know that spiritual peace will eventually be a worldwide peace, a peace we see with our own eyes that we will witness and experience all over our world. The peace of Jesus that's in your heart will be the peace of Jesus through Jesus all over this world. We're in Jesus now, but through Jesus, there will be peace everywhere. Peace on earth is coming. The announcement has already, the victory has already been achieved. The announcement is now spreading. Now, right now, it might seem unlikely. Again, we look at what's going on. It seems like, wow, I don't know. I don't see how that happened. But you remember, there was a time when it also seemed unlikely that there could be peace. is when Jesus was hanging on that cross. I mean, you think about the announcement about Jesus and what he would bring, and here he is, 33 years later, hanging on the cross, and it seems like, well, that did not work. That was a failure. That seemed completely unlikely. The cross looked like an utter defeat. But we know now that was just a door that God brought us through, and the other side was God's victory. What looked like a defeat, God turns around into victory, a victory and peace. A victory and peace for all who have committed themselves to God and believed in Jesus are now in Jesus. Here's a sort of last reminder for us in this. It's 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What's the victory? Our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Your everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill faith in Jesus is the constant reminder and guarantee that you can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Your most basic belief that Jesus is for real, that is what helps you overcome the world, helps you take heart, and helps you have peace. In Jesus, you have overcome the world. Believing that, trusting that, committing yourself to that over the course of your life, and yes, there'll be ups and downs throughout that, but the degree in which your Jesus is the North Star for you, when Jesus is the rock that you're building your life on, Jesus is the one that you put on every single day, Jesus is the one through whom you see everything, Jesus is the one through whom you understand everything, the degree in which you have a relationship with Jesus and you're close to Jesus, however that looks like and however that goes, the degree in which you're always looking to Jesus, you've overcome the world. You've overcome the world from the smallest child to the oldest grandmother. They've overcome the world. They've overcome all sin and pain and conflict. They've overcome death itself. Knowing that and understanding that and holding on to that, well, there's your peace. There's the peace. There's the peace that surpasses understanding. There's the peace that centers you and brings you in right relationships with those around you. There's the peace that leads to peace everywhere. God's peace, Jesus' peace, is already here. And it's here because I know there's people here who've believed in Jesus. And so my call to you this morning, this Advent season, is how might we continue to step more closer to Jesus and believe in his peace, to ask him for his peace, to be in relationship with others by which we practice peace through the tools he gives us, hoping together and praying together for where his peace might be everywhere. This is what God has done for us in Jesus. Let's be asking for him, asking for it. Amen.